The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the Bounce Back Browns. 4 days removed from disaster, Nick Chubb runs Cleveland to the division lead. That's first. Then the legends go head-to-head in the Battle of the Bays. Rodgers, Brady, we'll tell you why neither of them should be looking forward to this Sunday's game. And then Jerry said, what? You're not going to believe this one. It's the D in Big D about to stand for disarray. It's a Football Friday, people. Let's get this thing rolling. It's time to get up here on ESPN. We're ready to go. Graziano is here. I like that suit. Sato is looking good. Fresh off of the inauguration last week, if you will, at Texas. I got a frog in my throat, but it'll go away eventually. And we got much more. Ryan Clark is ready to go today. Minko's going to hit somebody. David Pollack will join us as we go. We begin with the game of the night because week three in the NFL is already underway. Mitch Trubisky and the Steelers visiting the Cleveland Browns, who were 4 days removed from giving a game away against the Jets. Late first quarter. Give it to Nick Chubb. Sacho, that's the recipe for success.
Give it to Nick Chubb all day, every day. Every day of the week that ends in Y, I want Nick Chubb to be running the football. He put up that hype video early in the season. Man, this dude's living it up.
He had 113 yards last night. Browns moving the chains, and then it's Jacoby Brissett. His new favorite target is Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper. And obviously, Terrell Edmonds on the defensive side of the ball. He's looking inside. He's backing up. Can't do that at the goal line.
So the Browns take the lead. And then here comes the play they're talking about. Is this the catch of the year?
Catch of the year, play of the game, catch of the century. I mean, like, that's what Odell did. Check out this angle. Yeah. That's Odell.
And if you don't believe me, ask him. Odell was on Twitter last night reacting to it. You tell me if you see a difference between the George Pickens catch and the Odell catch. Spectacular. Steelers continue to drive. Great ball placement, by the way, by Trubisky. Huh? Later in the drive, first and goal, Najee Harris takes it home.
Najee Harris showing it's not just Nick Chubb who can do this thing. I can do this thing, too.
But he had just 56 yards rushing. Steelers tie it at 7. Middle of the second, Browns first and goal, Brissett and Njoku.
Edmonds again backing up at the goal line, but great play by Njoku. Great ball placement by the quarterback.
Brissett, 220 yards, 2 touchdowns. Browns miss another extra point. That killed them last week. So it's 13-7 Cleveland. Fourth quarter, Browns up 16-14. Brissett again for Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper has been such a great addition to this offense. A down the field threat, the second 100-yard game. Cleveland didn't have that last year.
Yeah, good thing the Cowboys got a fifth-round pick for him. And then here's Chubb taking it in on a fourth and goal. Browns take a 23-14 lead. 3 minutes left in the game, same score. Trubisky, his favorite target is Pat Freiermuth.
Especially in the fourth quarter, Pat Freiermuth, say it with me, Sam Acho. Pat Freiermuth had two great catches in the fourth quarter that kept Pittsburgh in this game.
That was the first. Here's the second. Leads to a field goal, so it's 23-17. Under 2 minutes to go. Steelers going for the onside kick. This beat the Browns last week. Oh, look at this. It gets close.
It was perfectly executed. Outside, now obviously, he was offsides. Pittsburgh was offsides, but, man, Cleveland's got to get that cleaned up.
Browns get the win, 29-17.
I'm not in that mindset. I'm interested in reviewing this tape and looking at the totality of it and figuring out how we collectively get better. So the answer to that question is definitively no.
So there is Mike Tomlin saying he is not thinking of making a quarterback change. Now, whether you blame this on Trubisky or not, the offense has been awful, ranking in the bottom quarter of the league in points, yards, time of possession. Going back to last year, they've scored 20 points or fewer in 4 straight regular season games. That's as long a streak as they have had under Mike Tomlin. Bear in mind, one of those games went the entirety of overtime and they were barely able to score. So let me begin with my favorite former Steeler, Ryan Clark. Mike Tomlin says he's not ready to make a quarterback change. Are you?
You know what? I'm not necessarily ready now, but I'm getting closer. And I think Mike Tomlin is getting closer as well. The one thing about Mike Tomlin or Mike T is that when he makes a decision, it's a definitive decision. And he understands that those plans could be adjusted, but he's going to have check marks that says this is the time. Listen, the defense isn't stopping the run. Offensively, you weren't creating running lanes probably until this week against the Cleveland Browns. And Mitchell Trubisky did push the football down the field. There was was a drop down the sideline by Deontay Johnson when Myles Garrett is barreling down on Mitchell Trubisky. He does get out of the pocket, throw the deep ball to George Pickens. And so I don't necessarily know if we can sit back and say this is all because Mitchell Trubisky stinks, right? Matt Canada was the coach last year and this offense struggled, and we put a lot of that on Ben Roethlisberger. And so I think that going forward, Coach Tomlin will have a time when he's ready to make the change to Kenny Pickett. I believe it's getting closer. I don't necessarily believe that time is now, because the one thing you don't want to do is mortgage your future trying to fix your present.
Nah, that's right. Pickett is the future, but there's a lot of season left in your future as well. Ninko, we talked about this yesterday, about maybe Trubisky playing for his job. How much of what you have seen so far do you put on him?
I put a lot on him, actually. You think about at the big picture. Look at the big picture. Do you see some of the catches his receivers were making last night? Mm-hmm. They were highlight reels. So if he just gives them more of a chance and throws the ball down the field, give me a 50-50 ball. Let me see what these receivers can do, because you know that they're going to come down with it. And at the end of the day, this game played out exactly the way I thought it was going to. The Browns were going to run the football, take care of the ball, and win the football game. And that's exactly what happened. Chubb runs for 113. Brissett takes care of the football, throws two touchdown passes, and the Browns win. Yeah, it was close, but played out exactly the way I thought it would. Trubisky doesn't throw a touchdown pass, doesn't really take any risks, throws the ball up to his big-time receivers. They make big catches. Do that more.
You know, Danny, we've been talking how the bye, the little mini bye that follows a Thursday game might be a logical or reasonable time to consider making a change. It does not sound like Mike Tomlin is ready to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he says definitively no, so we have to take him at his word. Look, history tells us that unless you're Jordan Love, you know, the first-round quarterback's going to play at some point in his rookie year. And I think that's the case with Kenny Pickett. The question is when. It was a great Tomlin quote last week. I was on their Steelers website. They asked him, like, when would you consider major changes? And he said, if we weren't in the right neighborhood. He said, I feel like we're in the right neighborhood, but we're knocking on the wrong doors. So I guess he feels like they're close. But when you watch this, you see a lot of what, you know, soured Chicago on Trubisky, which is the inconsistency. Yeah, he can make a great throw, but he can also look kind of lost in the two-minute drill, or when, you know, things are collapsing around him a little bit. So, and then you saw the frustration on the receivers. You know, you saw that clip we showed earlier of Deontay Johnson. You saw George Pickens a couple. Here, look, he's on the sideline. He's upset about the way things are going. So if the internal pressure gets to the point where it feels like, you know, the switch is necessary, then that might be the kind of thing that spurs it.
Well, look, there's one thing I've learned about wide receivers in the NFL is that they're always open. Just ask
right,
them. They're always
true.
Open. But last night, it certainly feels as though the Steelers receivers are feeling some frustration. At what point does that become something Tomlin has to take into account?
When you keep on losing. I mean, everyone's frustrated when you lose. At the end of the day, if you're winning, it almost doesn't matter. Now, granted, to your point, sometimes, like Pickens said, I'm open 99% of the time. That's what a lot of receivers believe. But when you win games, you have to almost let your ego go to the side for winning purposes. But when you're losing, you're saying, man, what could I do better? What could our team do better? What could our quarterback do better? And that's what we're seeing in Pittsburgh. And so the frustration is going to mount up as long as Pittsburgh continues to lose. Thankfully, they have a winnable game next week with the Jets.
But I could live without
you saying
that.
But then after that, it's going
to
be interesting.
And by the way, if you take a look, I mean, our FPI, for what it's worth, as of this moment, likes the Jets to win that game, and so do I, which is to say I'd love to see it happen. And then you see, the schedule is tough after that. That might be one of the things that Tomlin is taking into account before their bye. The schedule does get a little bit rough. So that's the Steelers, at least for this moment. Mike Tomlin says he's not making a quarterback change. On the flip side of this game last night, the Cleveland Browns are one inexcusable collapse, and even I will acknowledge that, from being 3-0 without their quarterback. We all understand what's going on right now with Jacoby Brissett and Deshaun Watson. So I guess, Ryan Clark, for lack of a better way of putting the question, how good are the Cleveland Browns?
The Cleveland Browns are actually a pretty good football team. But the thing is this, too. Because of Deshaun Watson's off-the-field issues and now the suspension, we basically said the Cleveland Browns aren't going to be able to compete at the quarterback position until week 12. Well, guess what? They've actually probably had the quarterback advantage the first 3 weeks of the season. I think if you ask people Baker Mayfield or Jacoby Brissett, they'll go Jacoby Brissett. Obviously, Joe Flacco, no disrespect to him because he played well down the stretch last week. Jacoby Brissett or Joe Flacco, Jacoby Brissett. And last night, you heard what we just said about Mitchell Trubisky. I take Jacoby Brissett over him, and he also outplayed him. And so when you look at the Cleveland Browns, they can be in a position to be first or second in the entire AFC North when Deshaun Watson returns. This is a team that if they can get back to playing defense like we saw last year, if Denzel Ward steps back up to that all-pro $100 million corner status, if we can see the young safeties Jell and Johnson and Grant Delpit and the interior linemen play a little better for the Cleveland Browns, this is a team that's going to be a playoff team. And for Kevin Stefanski to be able to see Amari Cooper and Jacoby Brissett now develop this rapport that they have down the football field, you have to be excited when you add that to the running game.
Now, Aninka, one of the things we didn't take into account as we were projecting this, who would have thought Cincinnati would be sitting at 0-2? Who would have thought that the Ravens would also give away a game? They've got a 3-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter. Things have broken pretty nicely for the Browns at this point, but I would ask you the same question. Just as you watch them, how good are they?
Man, I think sky's the limit for this team. And Jacoby, I'm really impressed with how he's played. He's taken on this responsibility to bridge the gap, and he's done a terrific job. When I watched this full game last night, I think he was composed. He had a ton of zip on the ball. He can throw. He can spin that thing. And it's impressive to see him out there leading this team and running the football, taking care of the football, number one, because at the end of the day, you win and lose games with turnovers and throwing interceptions, throwing errant passes over the middle. He was smart. He understood what he had to do. He's been doing that correctly. So I think that if he can continue to do this, they'll be in a great spot when their quarterback comes back, and they'll be in a better spot because you know that you have a backup quarterback that can do everything, and he helped you get to this point. They can win the division. They can make a deep playoff run. They could do it all with a defense, a running game, and a quarterback. We'll see what their quarterback position will look like when the head guy, number one guy, comes back, but I really think that they're in a great spot.
It also is an interesting little, I mean, he's making a case that he is one of the 32 best quarterbacks walking the face of planet Earth, right? He could be somebody's, it won't be Cleveland's, he could be somebody's starter next year.
The Cleveland coaching staff has done a very good job with Jacoby Brissett, like laying it out. He knows he's going to lose his job in week 13. Everybody knows that. But they've imbued him with a lot of confidence in the meantime. Like, this is how we're going to operate. You're perfect for this. Physicality, the run game, all that kind of stuff. And You joked about the fifth round for Amari Cooper.
Yeah. I mean,
they made that deal, Cleveland did, before the wide receiver market exploded this offseason, before you started having to trade first round picks and give $25, $28 million a year contract. They traded a fifth rounder for a $20 million a year Amari Cooper, and it's obviously paying off. They took a lot of heat for the Watson move, and for good reason in a lot of ways, but they had other things they did this offseason that were pretty shrewd.
Look, the conversation, if they had not, and I'll say it, and I'm a Jet fan, if they had not just given away a game against the Jets, we'd be having a very interesting conversation about an otherwise unbeaten Browns team this morning. Meanwhile, before we wrap this conversation, I need to, you know, hey, Sam Acho, when they talk about picking up the blitz, do they mean what Najee Harris did last night? Because he literally did it.
Oh. Look at the dictionary. This is the definition of actually pick, you know, all right, pick up the blitz. No, literally, get down, bend down, and pick up the blitzer. That,
wow.
Great block by Najee Harris. We got a shout-out. Shout out to the way you run the ball, but shout out the way you pick up that blitz.
He is a terrific all-around player. Offensive line's not giving him a chance to run with the football, but it's certainly not Najee's fault. And there he is. He was doing that all night long last night. All right, we're just getting started on a Football Friday coming up. Yes, the Dolphins are 2-0, and Tua's getting talk for the MVP, but are we putting too much stock into one great quarter? We'll answer that question next. Plus, did you hear what Jerry Jones said about his quarterbacks? You'll hear it. And whether it is a shrewd move or the single craziest thing of all time, we'll answer all that as we roll on. Football Friday, get up, ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat.
For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Verizon 5G from the network more people rely on. All right, it's a Football Friday here, and Week 3 is filled with intriguing matchups, and none of them more significant than the Bills at the Dolphins. And, of course, it means the quarterbacks. Josh Allen has owned this matchup, winning his last 7 starts against Miami with 23 total scores and just 3 turnovers. But Miami, of course, is red hot behind the AFC Player of the Week, Tua Tagovailoa, who became the first Dolphin player with 450 yards and 6 touchdowns in a game last week. Whoever wins could be the winner of the AFC East. Buffalo's chances with the victory go up to 89%, while Miami would have a 32% chance of winning the division should they pull off this win. And I will repeat once again what I've been saying all week long. The Dolphins have as much of an advantage as you could ask for, playing at home in the hot weather in September. Buffalo on a short week, traveling off, playing on a Monday night. On Fridays, we put the picks up before we have the conversation. Anyone buying? No, not one person bought my Miami sales pitch. Here's what I want to ask you, RC. We talk about how little things can change everybody's perception if the Browns don't give away that game last week. Are the Dolphins the team that played the first 3 quarters last week against the Ravens, or are they the team that went nuts in the 4th quarter and found a way to win?
I think they're a team somewhere in between there. I don't believe they're a defense that is that bad that you're going to give up 35 points in 3 quarters weekly, or that is that something that's going to become the norm. I also don't necessarily know that they're the 4 touchdowns in the 4th quarter type of team with the 2 long bombs against broken coverage to Tyreek Hill. And so when you look at this team, this is the week, right? This is the true litmus test of who you are. You're playing against the Buffalo Bills, who will be banged up at the corner position, who won't be at full strength there. We don't necessarily know how well or if Gabe Davis will be able to go. And so this is a chance that if you're Tua Tagovailoa to say you've arrived. This is a chance if you're Jalen Waddle and you're Tyreek Hill to say that your 2 heads are better than the 1 head and Stephon Diggs, who's on the other side for the Buffalo Bills. A chance to say that you can block Von Miller in that front, run the football against Tremaine Edmonds and also Matt Milano. And so there's so much that's going on this week. But if you're the Miami Dolphins, you can't rest on that 4th quarter. You can't expect that to be all the time. And I think that Mike McDaniels and his team understands that. They also understand that the Buffalo Bills are now the hunted. They're the best team in football. The team that blew out the number 1 seed in the AFC. The team that blew out the defending Super Bowl champions. And so I'm really excited to watch the Miami Dolphins step to the plate with the big boys, not the Patriots, not the Ravens defense, the Buffalo Bills, and show us who they really are. And we'll know a lot about this team come Sunday night.
Nanko, what are the Bills players saying? Take me inside those Bills defensive conversations. What are they saying as they watch the tape of what Tyreek Hill did last week?
You got to stop 10. You have to make sure that you cover him, and you cannot get beat deep over the top. Listen, when you're playing a receiver that runs a 4-2 flat 40, you know, as a safety, whatever I do, I got to keep it in front of me. I cannot let him get behind the defense, because those are easy plays. When you run past the defense and nobody's paying attention to a guy that's that fast, the quarterback just throws it as far as he possibly can. And those are easy plays. You can't let the Miami Dolphins have easy access. So with that, I think Buffalo, they're going to come into this game plan saying, it's not going to be easy. We're going to make sure that you go to somebody else besides 10. And you got Von Miller, a guy that they brought in to rush the passer and get to the quarterback in division games. So again, I think that this game is another tone-setting game that the Buffalo Bills understand. Week one, all eyes were on us. We had to go out there, set the tone early, put the whole league on notice. This is another game. It's even more important because it's in division. So I don't think that they're going to be caught sleeping or slipping. They're going to go out there, set the tone, and they're going to make sure that Tua doesn't have easy access down the field to Tyreek Hill.
Now, Tua had that breakout performance. Everyone's all excited. But to put another one back-to-back with it, especially against this team, do you think he has another big day?
I think he does. Because Nico makes a great point. You got to stop 10. But you go ahead and try to stop 10, and 17 goes off. 17, yeah. Jalen Waddle had 11 catches, 171 yards. And what was interesting is the first three quarters, 10 was stopped. Tyreek Hill was stopped. And then all of a sudden, the fourth quarter, he goes off. 11 catches, 190 yards for the day. And so for me, the question of, okay, is it the first three quarters, Dolphins, or at the is it the fourth quarter? Yes, it's a little bit of both. But the issue is, if you spend your whole time trying to stop 10, 17 goes crazy. Now you say, man, let me try to stop 17. Now 10 goes crazy. That's the issue with this team. They have so many weapons on the offensive side of the ball that it's hard to stop all of them. It's not an anomaly what they did in that fourth
quarter. Danny, you've been around the Bills a lot, and it feels like their focus has been so squarely on Kansas City in so many ways. Well, and they've got them in a month, but this is a big game.
It is. Look, I think their focus is on trying to win the Super Bowl. Right now, through two games, they've been the dominant team in the league. To the point about the safeties playing deep on Tyreek Hill, the Bills' safeties aren't practicing. They're hurt, right? Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, they're hurt. We don't know if they're going to play, or if so, how well. They're banged up at cornerback. So the key is that pass rush, right? I mean, they have the number three pass rush win rate in the league, and they've only blitzed on four plays in two games. So they're getting pressure with the front four. The Dolphins' left tackle, Teron Armstead's dealing with an injury, right? He didn't practice yesterday either. So if they can hassle Tua enough, he might not have time to get it down the field to those guys.
Feels like the things that Baltimore didn't do last week are the things Buffalo can do to Miami this week. So let's make some more picks here. DraftKings Sportsbook Predictions brought to you by DraftKings. Let's go through some notes here. Graziano, today's question is this. Will Tyreek have over 100 receiving yards on Sunday?
No. I say no. I think they do. I think that pass rush gets after Tua enough, and I think Buffalo is going to do what it did the first couple weeks, which is put up a big lead, and then they'll be able to get after the quarterback even more. I think right now, Buffalo's feeling no pain.
Let's throw some more numbers out there. Ninko, more or less 79.5 receiving yards for Stephon Diggs. What do you think?
Well, considering he has 270 yards right now in two games, more. You are not going to stop Diggs. He's too good. He's too explosive. Josh Allen's too good at getting out of the pocket in trouble. Finds him at all the most important times of the game. He's going to go to Diggs. So I say more.
Yeah, think how many yards he might have if their games were close. Sacho, more or less 38.5 rushing yards for Josh Allen.
I'm going more as well. Josh Allen always makes big-time plays in big-time moments. We saw it last week. There was a third and medium, and he made a big-time run, got a first down. You're going to see that a couple times this game, whether it's on third down, on fourth down. If something opens up, I think we'll have more than 38.5 rushing yards.
All right, so one of the most interesting games on this Sunday, and DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. This week, new customers can bet $5 and win $200 in free bets if your team wins. Download the app. Use the code GETUP when you sign up. Coming up, all eyes will be on Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady this weekend, but we'll explain why the focus in this game needs to be in other places. We'll tell you where next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We are back on Get Up, and if you're just joining us, let's show you again quickly what happened last night as we kicked off week three in the NFL with a big game between the Steelers and Browns. Sam Acho, one of the things we saw was maybe the catch of the year from George Pickens.
George Pickens, this is why he was picked so high, to make catches like this. I mean, when you watch the other angle, you'll see this is Odell-esque.
Yeah, it reminds everyone, including Odell, of the Odell catch, the legendary one. Steelers would tie the game at 7 off of that drive, and Jacoby Brissett finding David Njoku, who had a big night, 9 catches, 89 yards, and a touchdown. Browns, however, would miss the extra point, which killed them last year. In the meantime, Brissett's favorite target, without question, is Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper, what a great addition to this Cleveland Browns football team. Went for over 100 yards for the second time this season. Cleveland did not have this last year.
I'll say it again. The Cowboys traded him for a fifth-round pick. Later in that drive, fourth and goal, Nick Chubb takes it in. Chubb was the star last night, 113 yards rushing, and the Browns go on to win the game by a final score of 29-17. If not for a terrible collapse at the end of last week, they could be unbeaten. Meanwhile, we look ahead to Sunday and some other very interesting games. Ninko, Ravens, Patriots, what are you watching for?
I want to see how the Patriots defense fares against Lamar. And listen, all things point to the Patriots defense being the best part about this team and their roster. So how do they slow down Lamar? The front is going to have to do a terrific job. They're going to have to stop the run early, put Lamar in longer down the distances.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson had the best game of his career last week, overshadowed by his defense giving the game away. Graziano, Rams, Cardinals, what are you watching for?
The Rams have been kryptonite for Kyler Murray. He's 1-5 against him, 7 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, been sacked 18 times in 6 games. It has been a difficult matchup for him. Can he carry the magic of last week's second half and overtime into this week's and knock off the defending Super Bowl champ?
RC, the Chiefs have been really good. The Colts have been really bad. What are you watching for in this game?
To see if the Colts can stink less up front. This is a team that was built on the run game and being able to protect the quarterback. It's why for years we've been saying you need to find a quarterback and throw him in there and you have a team that's ready made for a Super Bowl. We haven't seen that. No run game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, no protection for Matt Ryan, which resulted in 3 interceptions. They have to be better up front if they want a chance to compete with a team like the Kansas City Chiefs.
And then Sacho, Battle of the Bays, Packers, Bucks, what are you watching?
Who's going to be catching balls for Tom Brady? Mike Evans, as you saw, he suspended this game. Chris Godwin got injured week 1. He's not practicing. Julio Jones didn't practice as well. Who's going to step up? Is it going to be Leonard Fournette heavy game? Is it going to be Scotty Miller step up big? That's what I'm looking to watch. It's not the Green Bay Packers receivers you need to be worried about. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's exactly right. Although the Packer receivers are all hurt too. And none of them are practicing right now. It's Breshad Perriman who caught the touchdown last week. I mean, look, what is Tom going to do? RC, I mean, you've played against Tom Brady and all these. Who is he throwing the ball to? What is their offense going to look like on Sunday?
I mean, his offense is going to start with Leonard Fournette, but let's not be confused into thinking that that's what they're doing this week because they don't have people to pass the football to. He was who won the football game against Dallas in week one. He was the guy that got 24 carries against the New Orleans Saints that allowed Tom to not have to force balls into difficult situations, which creates turnovers. And he's a little banged up as well, but this team is winning on defense. You know, we looked at the Dallas Cowboys week one and we said, you know what, they were done without Dak Prescott. You know why? Because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense was on their heads. Those linebackers, Levante David and Devin White, are playing at that Super Bowl level. They're taking the top, they're keeping the top on the defense and making plays in the secondary with Antoine Winfield now at the nickel. And then offensively, they are doing enough, and we watched Tom Brady make plays like we saw late in the game to Breshad Perriman. When you think about this team, they're just finding ways to win, and that's what you want if you're Coach Todd Bowles. We are not playing our best ball, but we're 2-0 with an opportunity to go beat Green Bay, and I think they get it done.
Now, Nico, here's a game with the two preeminent quarterbacks of their generation, two of the greatest that have ever lived. Are we looking at a baseball score here? I mean, are we looking at a super low-scoring game on Sunday?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, this could be a 10-7 game. And I know all the fantasy people out there are going to be pulling their hair out. But at the end of the day, when you have two rosters that are injured, you're going to have to rely on your defense. And you don't want to play your best football in September. You want to have to go through these lumps early in the season to hopefully they get healthy, both sides, both teams. You want them to get healthy and have a good push at the end of the year. It's going to be a defensive struggle. I like the Bucs in this one because they lead the NFL in sacks. They have 10 sacks on the season. Six of those come from blitzing linebackers. So, again, with that, we know Green Bay has an issue up front. They have issues at the receiving corps. We've seen Aaron Rodgers get ping-ponged around back there. So, again, I think the Bucs are going to get after Aaron Rodgers, and I'm taking the Bucs. Tom Brady will find a way.
Cindy, let's put the picks up again. And we did not ask Dan Graziano to make a pick because he's covering this game for us for ESPN and for Sunday Countdown. So I threw my pick in there. And once again, we are all united. We all like Tampa. So you're talking to people, obviously, on both sides of this thing. What are the important things the fans need to know heading into this enormous game that is the exact opposite of what we would have expected it to be?
Yeah, I think the focal point will be the run game for both teams. I was at the Packers game last week, and they ran the whole thing through Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, and they're happy to keep doing that as long as Aaron Rodgers and his wide receivers are continuing to work to get on the same page, which Aaron admits they are. So, yeah, I would expect that not just Leonard Fournette, but on the other side, you're going to see a run-heavy game plan from Green Bay. Two very good defenses and two offenses that aren't all the way whole, and they're going to lean on what they actually can do.
But, Greeny, I have a genuine question as I'm listening to all this talk. Will it get better? I mean, between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, they have four total touchdown passes. The receivers are still injured. Green Bay, they still haven't – they relied on Randall Cobb. Like, will it actually get better as far as not just winning games? I'm talking about these quarterbacks looking like MVP-caliber quarterbacks.
Mike Evans' suspension is only one game. Chris Godwin will be healthy eventually. And yeah, in Green Bay, they believe that experience with those young receivers will make them better as the year goes along.
If these teams play each other again in January, it might look vastly different. We'll see. In the meantime, speaking of quarterbacks who are struggling, Sunday night, Russell Wilson at home against Jimmy Garoppolo. These guys know each other well from their days in the NFC West. Of course, it is Russell who's made the jump to the AFC, and now they take on San Francisco. Broncos were just awful last week, booed loudly at home in a game that they won over the Texans 16-9. This will be a very different circumstance, a different challenge, and it's a standalone Sunday night game. Russell Wilson, week one, 340 yards last week, under 50% passing with an interception. Through two games, the Broncos offense has scored just two touchdowns with six field goals. Look, we have sat here and we have talked at great length about Nathaniel Hackett. He has been the most talked about head coach in the NFL so far. RC, should we be talking in Denver at least a little bit about the quarterback? How much of these struggles needs to go at the doorstep of Russell Wilson?
I think a lot of those struggles go at the doorstep of Russell Wilson. Listen, when Russell Wilson was winning his playoff games, it was because he had a top five defense in Seattle. Russell Wilson didn't necessarily do that when he was the focal point of this team and this offense, and we were screaming, let Russ cook. Now you get him in Denver, you're not only trading for Russell Wilson, the football player who throws the pretty deep ball. You're trading for Russell Wilson, who's been in impact situation, who's understood critical football moments and transitional moments in the game. And we haven't seen that from him. He hasn't gotten this team better in the red zone because he hasn't gotten better in 22 snaps, 18 called passes, and you don't have any touchdowns to show for it in the red zone. Russell Wilson should be a guy that's helping bring Nathaniel Hackett along. We expect Nathaniel Hackett to struggle at least a little bit early at his new job. We don't expect Russell Wilson to struggle at his new job. And his new job isn't just about making plays on the football field. It's about leading. It's about coaching. It's about teaching. It's about making guys believe you can win. When Tom Brady went to Tampa, that immediately happened. They immediately said, we got a dude. I don't necessarily know if the guys in Denver are saying, we got a dude.
Well, that's really what it's about. No one has ever questioned Russell Wilson's talent. There have been questions, Ninko, about his leadership, and maybe that is what Ryan is touching on here. Ninko, how do you see that?
Yeah, RC, I can't say it any better than what RC just elaborated. You want your quarterback to basically be the torch leader for the rest of the team. Everyone wants to follow that guy. And I can only speak from my experiences with Tom. He was a true leader, and you can see that when he was with the Patriots. Then he went to Tampa. He's a true leader. People follow him. They want to be with him. They want to listen to Tom. They want to be coached by Tom. And you know, you hear the reports of Russell Wilson having his own office and kind of beating to the beat of his own drum and doing things differently. Well, that doesn't really work in a team setting. You have to go through the grind of everything that everyone else is doing. That's why in the military, everyone, you know, you lose your hairdo, you go in, you lose your name, you go through boot camp and train, and that's just like training camp. You go in and you do the hard things together to where everyone looks at each other like, hey, I'm doing it for him, he's doing it for me. We have each other's back here. So if Russell can't be the leader, you paid him to be the leader and the best quarterback to lead your team, then this team isn't going to go anywhere, and they're not going to win, and they're not going to be what everyone expected them to be.
Is this fair, Dan? And when you hear all this, is this reasonable?
Yeah, he's the one who got the big contract. He's the one that they traded for. I mean, I think RC's point about how, you know, Hackett is new and needs to be picked up by his veteran quarterback is completely legitimate. Look, the entire operation right now on offense looks like a mess. They can't get the play in on time. It's penalties. It's all that. And you know, if it keeps up, Russell's not the one whose seat's going to be hot. You know what I'm saying? Like that'll fall on the head coach, no matter whose fault it actually is. That's just the way of these things. But, I think they'll get it together. My understanding is Russell has a lot of input in how this offense is designed and operated on game day, and right now it's just not going smoothly for whatever reason. I think at some point it will get better, but the question is, you're in the AFC West with all these monster teams and all these great quarterbacks. Like, how much damage are you doing to your chances in the meantime while you're struggling to get it together?
To be clear, that was a game I'm not sure how many people watched last week. Broncos, Texans up against a lot of other. The home fans are counting down the seconds on the play clock for their own team. This week, everyone's going to see it. It's a Sunday night standalone game against a really good defense in San Francisco. What do you think, Saj?
Yeah, I think San Francisco definitely has the edge for sure, number one. Number two, I'll just push back on the piece about, man, being a unit and team and all one haircut. I mean, Tom Brady missed training camp, so that's the thing that happened. Aaron Rodgers isn't necessarily this unit, team, rallying around guy, so that's another thing. And so, I understand that point, but there is another side of there are different ways to lead. Now, is Russell Wilson doing it right now? No. Is Nathaniel Hackett doing it right now? No. But also to the point of, hey, I'm a rookie head coach and need to be brought along. Mike McDaniel looks really, really good right now as a rookie head coach as well. And so I think there's more nuance to the situation. Denver's defense has some question marks with the first-year coordinator. I think that needs to be talked about as well. But Russell Wilson, for sure, needs to be better.
Every game we've put on the screen so far, everyone likes the same team. I'm not exactly sure. We got to keep track of how this works out, but every member of our group is on the 49ers this week. Yeah, we'll see. Meanwhile, college football, we'll have David Pollack coming up a little bit later this morning for you, and we got some good games this week on ESPN+, including number one Georgia hosting Kent State, then coming off another thrilling win. App State takes on James Madison, and then Brian Kelly and LSU RC hosting New Mexico on our East Coast primetime matchup. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. Coming up, Jerry Jones has said a lot of things over the years that have sort of made you stop and say, what was that? Well, this might be the craziest of them all. What did he say? What did it mean? You'll hear next. Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back on a Football Friday Get Up, in Dallas, injured quarterback Dak Prescott going through rehab and conditioning work during the portion of yesterday's practice that was open to the media, while his backup, Cooper Rush, played a good game in his absence. I want you to listen to what Jerry Jones said he's rooting for yesterday.
Wouldn't it be something if you had a dilemma as to which way you go? You do that if he gets 10 wins. Same thing that happened with Prescott. I think like that.
So you'd want that? You'd want that controversy?
Of course I would.
Okay.
Of course that means we'd won. If he comes in here and played as well as Prescott played, Rush played that well over these next games ahead, I'd walk New York to get there.
I love that, man. God bless him. It's just the greatest thing of all time. I don't even know what to say. I'm a talk show host, and he's better at this than I am. I don't have to ask a question. RC, he's rooting for a quarterback controversy. What do we make of that?
He's better.
Bro, it's like dude wakes up and says, what's the most outlandish thing I could say to F up my team this morning? And then he just picks something. And that's what he picked this time. Bro, nobody wants that. And also, like, I don't like the fact that you've been calling him Dak the last 5 years, and now all of a sudden he's Prescott. Like, we don't know who the hell number four is that plays for the Dallas Cowboys. Like, Jerry Jones, like, he don't like peace. You know what I mean? Like, there's always that guy, man, that's walking around, and he's like, man, I just want peace, you know? I just want to find somebody in my life that just lets me be me, man, and just allows me to flourish. And then they're the most toxic human in the entire world. That's Jerry Jones, bro. Jerry Jones walks around like he wants a championship, but he doesn't. He just wants to be talked about like he wants a championship. You don't want a quarterback controversy. Ain't no way you want to pay a dude $140 million and then have a dude that's a backup, and now you got to figure out which one of them you want to start. Yes, you want Cooper Rush to play well, but what you should be saying is, we want Cooper Rush to play well enough for somebody else to want him to be their starting quarterback, because we already have ours. This is ridiculous.
It is, but Danny, you know what he's doing.
Look, this is Jerry, right? He's on his yacht, right? He's got his feet up. He's got a line in the water, and he's reeling it in. Oh, it's Get Up. I got him. They're going to talk about the Cowboys tomorrow. Again. Jerry Jones is always doing one specific thing.
Sell.
That's what he is doing. This is great. Now, fundamentally, yes. Like, if Cooper Rush plays well enough that they win all their games in the meantime, that's ideal for Jerry because he wants to win the game. But, no, man, there's no quarterback controversy here. Look at the paychecks. Like, hey, I mean, no. It's just
can I say one thing real quick?
Yeah.
No one asked Jerry Jones this question.
No.
He didn't have a plan. Like, this is an impromptu. He just went up to the reporters and said, hey, let me say something. No one asked, hey, should there be a conference?
This will be fun.
That's literally what he did. It wasn't a planned press conference. Wasn't anything. He just brought that up, and wouldn't it be nice if ain't nobody asking you, Jerry Jones.
Look, I think I can prove that Dan is right. Nick, let me just put one thing on the screen, and then we'll do it. I can prove that Dan is right, because if he had said what Mike McCarthy said, which is infinitely less interesting but more logical, we wouldn't be talking about it. McCarthy said, Dak is our quarterback, and we want Cooper to be as successful as possible. I think it stops right there. That's the obvious reality of the situation.
It's true.
But infinitely less interesting.
Absolutely.
And we would right now be talking more about Russell Wilson, or we'd be talking about Aaron Rodgers, or we'd be talking about somebody else instead of how about them Cowboys. Go ahead, Ninko.
What happened yesterday
at the meeting at 6 a.m. Remember when I was sitting there and I said, what if Cooper Rush wins? And you said, no, we're not even going to get it. Well, now Jerry Jones is saying we want a little controversy here. We want Cooper Rush. We want him to come in here, win 10 games, and then we'll have ourselves a little issue here. I was
exactly
surprised.
Right.
I'm like, maybe I put that in his head. Maybe he thought about that.
Well, let's take everybody behind the scenes. What Ninko was talking about, I want everyone to know what he's talking about. In our pre-show meeting yesterday, he brought up the idea, hey, what if Cooper Rush continues to play well and there's a quarterback controversy in Dallas? And I actually said, that's far too crazy to even bring up.
Yep.
Jerry Jones has just raised a possibility that a talk show host who would do anything to talk about the Cowboys deemed too crazy to be worth discussing on the show. That's what the owner of the team just did. RC, he is out greeny when it comes to the Cowboys. That's what Jerry Jones has done, RC.
Hey, I'm gonna say this. This is the best week you've had in a long time, Greeny. First off, the Dallas Cowboys win, right? So we get to keep doing get up. Then the Jets actually win a game in a great comeback in Cleveland. And fast forward to the end of the week and Jerry Jones gift wraps this for you. I know you were sad at first when you saw we didn't even have anything to talk about on the first rundown that Pete did. And that's why Pete's eyebrows were looking down like this on the call. I've never heard him talk that much in the morning. That's how pissed off he is about the first rundown, because Jerry did this. And he's right. Yeah, Jerry had a line. And I know Dan said a line in the water. I'm not sure that's all it was. Jerry Jones is tripping, y'all. Jerry Jones is doing way too much right now for a team that actually doesn't need it. Just let them be. But for you, Greeny, this week had to be like Christmas.
Oh, it's a dream. It's a dream come true. It's exactly right. No, he is just the gift that keeps on giving. Oh, by the way, Nico, are they going to win? Are they going to beat the Giants? Everyone in this, everywhere I go in this town, people are walking up to me, Greeny, the Giants. Who's winning that game? We'll do picks on Monday. But, Nico, who's winning that game Monday night, the Cowboys or the Giants?
The Giants.
Get out of here. No, they're not.
They're going to run the football. Yes, the Giants are going to win. They're going to use Barkley. They're going to run the ball. They're going to set the tone early. And I don't think Cooper Rush is going to have as good of a game as he did week two. That's I'm just saying. Know. That's all I'm saying.
If Cooper Rush was playing for the Giants, they might have a better chance. I'm not 100%. I'm not sure he wouldn't be the better quarterback on the other team. He's definitely not the best quarterback on his team. Okay, we'll take a short break on that delightful thought, and we will roll forward. It was a good night in Cleveland. Browns beat the Steelers. Just how good can this team be before they get the quarterback they will eventually have? We're talking about it next. Get up on ESPN.